This episode is brought to you in part by the new MDiv from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. The strongest MDiv just got stronger. Southern Seminary introduced a new Master of Divinity degree in order to train, educate, and prepare students for a lifetime of faithfulness with even greater effectiveness. The benefits to students are greater personalization, increased specialization, and the opportunity to earn more credentials in an efficient amount of time. MDiv students who attend classes on Southern's campus pay for only their first 9 hours each semester and take one or two additional courses for free. That reduces the cost of the Southern Seminary MDiv by thousands of dollars. Discover how you can benefit from the new Southern MDiv that is simplified, personalized, and incentivized at sbts.edu/newmdiv. Welcome to 1514, a podcast of the Biblical Counseling Coalition. Our goal is to help Christians understand the truth of Romans 15:14, that they are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to counsel one another. I'm one of your hosts, Curtis Solomon.
And I'm Lakin Liu, your other host. Be sure to check out other resources from the BCC at biblicalcc.org.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of 1514. We are always so thankful to have you as part of our audience. Today, you will hear an interview that we got to have with two guests, which made it a little bit interesting, right, Lakin?
It did.
It was a lot of good back and forth. Dr. Jim Newcomer, who's been in pastoral ministry since 1994. He's a certified biblical counselor. And he currently resides in the Detroit metro area, doing lots of different ministry, including teaching at a variety of graduate programs in biblical counseling. And then our other guest is Kelly Collier, who's also an ACBC certified counselor with 20 years of counseling experience and really involved in the Wilds Christian Association. It's primarily a camp focused ministry that works with teens. And I thought they had one camp, but we found out on the podcast they have campsites all across the world. Which is pretty crazy. But we are talking to them today about a new series of mini books that came out from Shepherd Press that are directed specifically for teens, a Lifeline mini book series.
Yep. You got it.
Whew, struggling today. So Lakin, what did you think about the interview? Why would people want to listen to this?
Yeah, I think first while they were talking, I really was just like, I wish I had these resources when I was a teen. But now I'm even more thankful that I get to just direct people to use these resources. I think that's so much of the Christian life is also not only using those resources for yourself, but then if you know someone who's working with teens, to be able to direct them to that.
Yep.
And so I'm just so thankful that even though right now I work more in the college realm, which still are teens, but more specifically with younger teens, like I know people who are working with teens and can direct them with these very specific topics for small group, for personal discipleship, for all the things.
Yeah, no, I'm really thankful. I've known for a while and I've talked to a number of publishers about the gap in our literature to teens. Mm-hmm. And I'm so thankful for this lineup and others that are coming out that are written directly to teens. It kind of takes a filtering step out of the process for parents and youth leaders, rather than taking an adult book, reading it, and trying to modify it for teens. They can just pick these up and work straight with the teenager right through them. And I'm super excited about like the extra stuff that they added and pointed people to, just so many things. Rather than having another episode now, we should probably wrap up this intro.
Keep listening.
Thanks for listening. Well, Jim Newcomer and Kelly Collier, thank you so much for being with us on 1514 today. Would you mind introducing yourself to our audience?
Kelly, you first.
Right. Well, my husband, Matt, grew up at a place called the Wilds. It's a Christian camp just nestled in the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina. I grew up in an Army home, and we met at college and then had the opportunity to counsel together at the Wilds. And as is often true when you're in ministry together in those college years, you just, the rest is history. So we went away for a few years from camping ministry as my husband was getting further equipping for ministry, and came back to the Wilds in 2001 to start a ministry called Camps Abroad. And we just have the privilege of taking the whole philosophy of the Wilds. The Wilds has been around for about 50 years now, a little over 50 years. And we get to take that all over the world, where we're just walking beside nationals and missionaries and walking through biblical philosophy of ministry and helping them with training their counseling staff and just teaching them how to reach the next generation for Christ. My husband also served as our pastor for 14 years here in North Carolina at our local church. And now he currently is serving as president of the Wilds. Now I get to walk beside him in that as we help our staff and train them. I serve as the staff training specialist at the Wilds. And it's just a privilege to help with counseling needs as they arise there as well.
Amen. Great. Jim, your turn.
Well, it's hard. I'm in Detroit, the Detroit area, as we talk, and can't compare it the beauty of the Blue Ridge Mountains there in North Carolina, that's for sure. My wife Lori and I have been in ministry for several decades. We entered the pastoral ministry in 1994 in youth ministry, and after 6 years of that, we entered into senior pastorate, then an executive pastorate, and then now the senior pastorate I'm in now here at Calvary Baptist Church in Ypsilanti. I've also had the joy since 2000 to teach biblical counseling in a couple of different graduate programs. Since 2000, I've been teaching for Bob Jones University, particularly the seminary in biblical counseling. I teach alongside of Stuart Scott and Jim Berg, and it's a great treat on a friendship level. And Curtis, I know you know them. Mm-hmm. I had also the joy of teaching and helping to craft the counseling classes in the graduate program at Appalachian Bible College. There's an ACBC guy there, Dan Best, and things are going well there. And then I'm on adjunct faculty at Detroit Baptist Theological Seminary with their counseling program. They're an ACBC certified training center. So yeah, doing some teaching. I've loved the Wilds for my whole life. I've been going there since I was like 8 years old, and I have the joy of being on the board of directors there a couple decades. And love serving with Matt and Kelly. Have known them for a long time, back when they were missionaries. We took them up for it. So, yeah, that's a little introduction.
Well, that's great. Well, from the introductions, it sounds like we might be here to talk about the Wilds, but we're not.
That's right.
We're actually here to talk about maybe something that came out of some of that ministry, which we'll get into. But we're talking today about the new mini book series through Shepherd's Press, the Lifeline mini book series. But you guys have done a lot of work creating a new series specifically for teens. Can you tell us about that mini series?
Well, born out of our ministry at the Wilds, walking beside teenagers, we have used the Lifeline series from Shepherd's Press. The adult series is what we have been calling it lately, just in our conversations. We've just used it for years. I use it in my personal counseling, discipleship, ministry at our local church. And as I sit next to teenagers, I just had this growing burden for something that relates specifically to them. And so it really has come out of that desire to see resources for the next generation. Mm. And I'll let Jim speak into this as well, but the teen series really just carries the imprint, or we sometimes say the DNA, of the adult help series from Shepherd Press. We're just trying to provide clear biblical hope and help. We're trying to focus on getting to the heart and then giving gospel-driven application. You know, we want teens and we want adults, like we grow the same way. So we want to help them actually know how to have an affection-driven obedience to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Biblical counsel that connects directly to a teen's heart. And that's what we're seeking to do with this series.
Yeah, it's hard to add to that. That was a great story. But it is kind of a funny start to the series, Curtis. I had written the book on forgiveness in the Help series, Paul Tauchus's adult series. And I, from time to time, I would try to recruit writers or authors for Paul on different topics. And I had been after Kelly for some time to write. God has gifted her in writing and communicating and counseling. And she's just so busy doing the counseling and doing the discipleship in the ministry there. So it wasn't too long ago, a year and a half ago, Kelly, I don't remember the exact time frame. My wife and I were over their house for a lunch and a coffee, and I put the hard full court press on her again. Would you please write for the adult series, this help thing? And there just was a hesitancy because of the busyness. But what came out in that lunch was Kelly and Matt's just continued burden for what she just said, for teenagers, for discipling and counseling teenagers. And And I just decided to float an idea by her at that point. It just came to me in that moment. Wasn't sure if it was going to work. I said, well, no one's writing these help. Everyone has help books now or mini booklet series around the biblical counseling landscape. But I'm not aware of one that's committed and dedicated only to speaking and interfacing directly with the teenagers. I said, what would you think about approaching Shepherd's Press? Let's work through Paul Tauchus and Jim Holmes and see if they would be interested in a partnership between the Wilds and Shepherd's Press. And it would just interface directly with the teenagers. That's it. And initially, when we floated the idea, there was a little bit hesitation. It wasn't a no. And so we made an appeal. Could we at least do 3 or 4 pilots and just see how they go and get the circulation and as far as the annual conferences, ACBC conference, CCEF conference, Shepherd's Conference, you know, just a typical counseling booklet circuit. And they agreed to it, just to shorten the story. And what we're finding is from both Shepherd's Press and the Wilds, there's a lot of excitement about this. And things have been moving too with these pilots, and they've given us a green light to just start recruiting authors and set a course forward with topics, and we're actually planning on overshooting what they're asking for, you know. But we're hoping to see now at least eight new books come out every year if the Lord will allow that, and we want to populate this series very quickly. And Shepherd's Press is very excited about this. It's not competing with the adult series, but we want to at least press up into those numbers because this is a niche. We weren't looking for a niche just for the novelty of it. We weren't. But there is a need for this to interface directly with teenagers. So that's how it came about. We can answer more of your questions as far as specifics of each book and the template, but that's how it went from 0 to 60. In under 2 years.
And I just have to say, then I dragged Jim right into the deep end with me. Like, so he came along and is a consulting editor for the series. And I'm just so thankful for the perspective he brings. He serves really in the role of protecting our theology and our counseling ethos. And it has been a great joy to work with Shepherd Press. Our editors there, Jim and Sue Holmes, they have just walked beside us with such grace. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, this is a whole new world to me, but it has been just such a joy to work with these dear servants of the Lord, and they're helping us operate on a much higher level of excellence in publication as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jim, you started to talk about really that there was this big need, that there was something missing there. So why do you think it is important that we have resources geared towards teens directly rather than their parents or youth workers?
Great question, Lincoln. With the adult series, okay, we keep referring to it this way, that's 10,000 words. Shepherd's Press says you can do this, but for the pilots, we want 8,000 words. We want less said and be a little more laser focused so that a teen, especially a teen that might not have been discipled deeply yet in life, can just grab a hold of one seminal passage on that topic. It's not the only passage you could go to. In the adult series, we can spray out a little bit. But just one seminal passage on worry or on depression or darkness or on lament or something like that. And we just, so it was a narrowing of the focus and the scope within that sequence of handling that particular topic. And just give them something that they could mark up. We wanted to create, and this was really Kelly and Matt's vision on this. We wanted to create a book on a topic that would be the go-to book within the biblical counseling world for teens, at least for now. I mean, others will write and meet this need, I know too, but it would be, they could underline this book, they could hand it to their youth biblical counselor in their life and work together with them through that. But these books also will have resources available online, and I think Kelly should probably talk about that aspect, but this is something the adult series doesn't have. Kelly, if you want to step in there and tell them what that offers.
Yeah, well, I'd love to piggyback on what Jim just said about why it's important to talk to teens specifically. And at the, you know, the Wilds is my experience of teen ministry. We see about 10,000 campers a year. And so we're talking about, or I'm sorry, just in a summer, we see about 10,000 campers a summer. And that's both in our North Carolina campsite, and we have a campsite in New England. And then you add another 10,000 campers around the world through camps abroad. And those are just a lot of little tiny camps around the world that are renting a ball field or a school building. You know, it's not an established campsite, but they're just reaching their teens. And over the 20 years of ministry at the Wilds, I've just seen these increasing, life is much more complicated. Their problems are, they're inheriting a very dark world. Teens are confused and they're asking for help. And I think when we listen to this next generation, we're really reflecting the heart of God himself. I mean, you see that emphasis in the Old Testament, and again, God is telling Israel, pay attention to the next generation, teach them diligently, Deuteronomy 6, you know, show your children coming up the blessing of following me. And we see the disaster when that results when they don't do that. You know, it's like, this is really important that we focus on the next generation. You come to the book of Proverbs and you've got, you know, 10 discourses from the father to his son. It's showing you a really important emphasis to pass on truth to the next generation. In a negative way, I think you can even consider the pagan kings like Nebuchadnezzar. Did he get it that the next generation was important? I mean, that's why he's deporting the teenagers from Babylon, like Daniel, you know. And then Christ himself just valued young people. When his disciples were trying to limit access to Jesus, he rebukes them and says, let those little children come to me. Don't hinder them. I am showing you, I value these young people. They're made in my image and they're precious to me. And I think we just really have such a burden to reach that next generation where they're often overlooked and undervalued. And we just want to image Christ in that way. When you help a teenager, you're strengthening a family. When you help a teenager, you're helping your local church. You know, when you help a teenager, you're contributing to what God wants to do in their lives. And so it's like, Lord, help us not overlook this next generation and the problems that they're facing, because they literally are the next generation of leaders for the Lord. And I think what I'm hearing personally from teens is we need help. What I'm hearing from the adults who are bringing the teens is we don't know how to help them. And so we just are going, okay, well, we exist as a camp to serve the local church. So how do we help you? And that's where this series really came from.
No, I really appreciate that. And I know working with college students, we've seen kind of an increase in some of the severity of problems that people are coming with. I mean, just the increase in number of students who are joining college with a psychological diagnosis already. And I was recently having a conversation with some people and discussing that maybe that age old question is this next generation just weaker or, you know, that kind of thing. And I was like, well, I don't want to be the grumpy old guy. But I also want to recognize as, and I think Kelly, you said it so well, this generation is inheriting a very dark world. And just let's step back and objectively look at some of the things that are facing our teens today. And, you know, if you broaden to human history, maybe it's not as severe as different points in history, but man, I know growing up 20 years ago, 30 years ago, I wasn't facing as much in the LGBTQ world. I didn't live through a global pandemic. I didn't have the divorce rates and all these things, you know, so much of that stuff. There is just a darkness in this world. And it is, we should not be surprised that it's impacting those teens. So I'm super thankful for this series and appreciate your guys not just seeing the need, but stepping into that need and creating that. So you mentioned these somewhat parallel the grown-up series or the series for adults by Shepherd Press. How are they different besides the 8,000 word count? I know there's some differences besides that.
Jim, would you tell them about the threefold trajectory?
Yes, this is something that's unique for the teen series, and Jim and Sue Holmes at Shepherd's Press were eager for this. I don't want to oversimplify Paul Tauch's series, and I'm personally invested in that series too, and excited about it. But it tends to be, as do some of the other books from the other publishers and counseling ministries, more of a first aid thing. I'm in trouble. I'm struggling. with, and then fill in the blank. And that's what gave birth to the title, Help. You know, help, I'm, or someone I know is. And that's fantastic. And like Ernie Baker said, they use at First Baptist of Jacksonville, that's what they use primarily in their counseling center, are the help books on the different topics. As we got into brainstorming topics for our series and potential authors, we just started with that assumption. Well, we're going to do this, how to help teens get out of a hole they fell into. And as we started talking to some potential authors, you know, asking what they're passionate about and how they would approach it, we were just listening to them talk and realized that, well, man, there's really two or three different streams or currents in this river that we could get more specific on for our series. We wanted to keep the rescue DNA as one of those currents. And Kelly calls that the way back. If you've gone a certain direction, how do you get back to a good place? But then we started to ask, well, what about if someone's not in that hole yet? How can they get on a trajectory where they won't fall in that hole? Like when we were talking to Zach Sparkman, he's one of our authors, about sexual purity for the teenager. We figured out right away, well, there's a way to, if you've already made a mistake, you need a book on that, on how to come back. But there's also a way to disciple through a book, how not to fall into that hole to begin with. So that's if the way back is the rescue current, the positive current is the way forward. And we're like, great, we're going to have two currents in this river. And then we were like, well, wait a minute. What about the spiritual disciplines? I mean, we're writing to teenagers. And when do you write a book on prayer for a teenager from a biblical counseling perspective? Because we always in counseling have to assign praying and journaling and Bible intake and things like that. So that gave birth to the third current. And that's called the way of life in Christ. And so we have three currents. And now what we're doing is we've created a worksheet, I have it in front of me, of brainstorming topics in each of those three columns. And this is setting the trajectory for easily 5-6 years of writing at this pace. So yeah, we're pretty excited about that. That is something unique to this series. And so far, as far as recruiting authors, and we're able to be a little more precise, and we can get into some of these authors later if you want to, but we are leaning heavily in biblical counseling. Kelly and I were with ACBC. We're not only recruiting ACBC authors, but we are definitely leaning that direction heavily. We have some people from the Wilds that are writing. We have some people that are not ACBC certified, not part of the Wilds, that we'd be open to writing as well. But we are holding to a pretty strong sufficiency of scripture and trajectory for this. Kelly, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I jumped in. I think when a teen is actively pursuing Christ, it just protects them from so much sin. And that's really exciting to me to hear about this trajectory, too. I'm excited. Jim's excited. And it's been a fun thing to brainstorm. Can I just mention one other thing about how it's different? And I think this speaks to the teen focus, because I'm sitting down using Jim's adult book with a teenager, you know, help. I have to forgive, but I'm really struggling to do this. And I want to put it in language that's accessible to them. Mm-hmm. And so to finally have a book like that, that I can sit down and where it's just written directly to the teenager using illustrations to which they can relate, and really being careful that our tone is coming alongside a teen. So often when I'm interfacing with a potential author, I'm just asking them, you know, what experience did you have as a teenager that God is now allowing you to use to help other hurting teens? Because the Lord is always redeeming our trouble that way. And so our authors then can walk beside a teen as a fellow sufferer or a fellow sinner. Here's how Jesus helps me, and he can help you too. And I just love that. That's the tone of the series. We're even being very careful about our cover art and our titles, you know, that they're not shaming. I had a teen come up to me recently, and she was just like, I am so grateful. Thank you for doing this for us. And just how hard it was to go to a bookstore sometimes and pick up something that looked hard to pick up. And, you know, just even just being very sensitive to that it's easy and accessible for them.
Kelly, you started to kind of hit into this question already, but what would some of those titles be, and how might of the series that you guys are creating, and how might a biblical counselor or someone discipling the teens use that resource in their ministry?
Well, we're just getting started. So as Jim said, we hope that this has a long life.
Yeah.
Currently, we have four titles that are available, both in ebook form and in hardcover. So the topics of forgiveness and purity from the positive standpoint, loneliness and doubting. But coming up right now, in process of being edited and typeset, we have Help I Want to Hide, which is on the topic of shame. Mm-hmm. And that's Sue Delaney, who is redoing an adult series book for a teen perspective. We have Help I'm in Darkness, which is on the topic of depression. Help I'm Stressed Out on anxiety. Mm-hmm. And then Help How Do I Respond to Authority? And again, that's in the positive trajectory. Other topics that are also being written on but are still in more of a writing phase right now would be fear of man, social media addiction, body image, servant leadership, reading and studying the Bible, living your life for the eternal, broken home, deconstruction of your faith. Those are the ones that we're currently working on. Mm. And I just personally, you know, I'm the counselor sitting with a teenager, and I'm thinking, oh, I wish I had this. Mm. And so I'm thinking in terms of discipleship. So while we're saying that a teen can just pick this book up, it's speaking directly to you. Every mini book, we're actually encouraging the teen, find a disciple maker in your life, somebody who can walk beside you in this. So I envision the disciple maker and the teen sitting side by side, working through it chapter by chapter, going through the discussion questions, jumping into the personal application projects. I can see it being used in a small group setting. And I even think that, like with the positive trajectory especially, how fun would it be for a whole youth group to read a book together and do that as, you know, a Bible study for a month, you know, four chapters? That would just be really special. So I can just see many, many ways that it could be used. It is a discipleship resource for the local church.
No, that's great. And I think, I mean, having done youth ministry too, I think even those ones that might, obviously the ones that are generic for spiritual disciplines, that kind of thing, you could use as a camp curriculum, you could use that kind of thing. But even those ones that are kind of more the get out of the hole, the get back on track, I would even recommend those in small groups, large groups, even at a camp, because these kids, whether they are wrestling with that thing or not, somebody in their life is.
Yes.
And that's, I think, equipping young people to start ministering to one another is such a helpful thing that the church can do as well. And I think these resources would be great for that, because they go back to their schools and somebody in their class is wrestling with this thing. That can be a great entryway to the gospel. Mm-hmm. You know, just so many wonderful ways to see this played out. So again, thanks for doing these. Jim, you already mentioned this idea, but I want you to unpack it a little bit. You said each of these books is geared around one particular passage. And as we know, anybody who's listening to this as a biblical counselor knows, you can usually go to 5 to 15 to 20 passages. If you're a Wayne Mack fan, 130 for any particular issue. But you guys chose to focus on one and really unpack it. Tell me the rationale and how that played out in the writing of these.
Well, often when you get a teen in a room for counseling, be it in a local church setting or a camp setting that's supporting the local church, often a teen has no traction yet in progressive sanctification. They might have come to a crisis that's requiring a focus right now. And we just don't want to deluge them with data from Scripture, the small print and that intimidating big book. We just want them to see and taste the power of just one text, the transforming power of I think it needs to be a seminal text or a main text on that topic. And just let them taste that, because, you know, when they taste that, by the end of the book, we might be cross-referencing some others. For example, with forgiveness, my seminal passage is Matthew 18, you know, are you going to be a scorekeeper or a forgiver? And why are we hesitant to forgive? I mean, that one text answers all that. But of course, I'm going to reference Ephesians 4:32, Colossians 3:13. I'm going to get to Philemon, perhaps. But I want them to walk away from that book saying, I understand Matthew 18. I understand what a talent is and how crushing 10,000 talents is and how much it doesn't make sense if I'm forgiven this much and I'm not willing to forgive some. That's what I want them to own. And because not only will that set them with confidence in the sufficiency of Scripture to handle that topic of forgiveness in their life, but it's giving them a sweet taste of something else. Like Psalm 34 says, taste and see the Lord is good. If Scripture was that precise to help me on one issue, then whatever other issues I'm going to come to face in my life, it's going to be just as sufficient. So we want them to taste something that they're going to remember down the road for other topics. So whether you want to talk in the terms of renewing your mind, you know, Romans 12:2, Colossians 3:16, Ephesians 4:23, or James 1, great. That's what we're doing. But we want to renew their mind, which is one major text for start. And then as they, in their young age, get used to that, I mean, that can expand out. I'm all about systematic, believe me.
That's a great thing even to point out. Like, there are different ways of studying Scripture, mm-hmm. and I make my students at the college mm-hmm. write topic papers from one passage and then from multiple passages, because we need both practices mm-hmm. in our care. So, Lakin, you have a question, I'm sure.
Well, I was thinking, even before, like, we wrap up, you guys all, like, Curtis and everyone here has worked with youth before, and just what could be something that, for the audience, how, if they do work with youth, or if they know someone that works with youth, like, how to encourage someone, like, as the youth are seemingly coming with harder things or are maybe talking about it more, like, how can we encourage you guys in the youth, or how would you encourage someone in the youth?
You know, in my travels around the world, it's just been a privilege that the Lord has given me. I've been to every continent except Antarctica. We haven't done a camp there yet. But I have never ever found a problem that a teen is facing that the word of God did not answer. Mm. Peel the layers back, peel the color, you know, colorful culture back. And they're the things that we all struggle with. So when we hear the issue a teen is bringing, sometimes we kind of freak out about that. And it's like, no, peel it back and you'll find less of the flesh, you know, pride of life, less of the eyes. It's the same stuff we're made of. We are more alike than different. There's not an adult way to grow or a teen way to grow. And so I think just don't be put off by maybe the hard thing they're bringing. Praise God, they're coming and mm-hmm. asking. Our teens want help. They're asking. And so when we sit beside them and we're just honest with them and transparent about, you know, I'm struggling too in different ways. So let's go to the Word together. And to Jim's point about how transformative the Word is, you know, these mini books are just a tiny beginning. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you about God, but you knowing God personally is going to be the thing that changes you. And so that's where even I think we are trying to provide something that will help an adult sit down with a teen and they can get in the Word together. That's where the coming back to that earlier question about the website, I'm taking the adult series, and at the end, they're giving these personal growth studies, and I'm going, okay, so I'm going to go to my computer and type it out and present this to my counselee, and we're going to work on it together. And I just kept thinking, well, let's make it more accessible. Can we provide a 13th donut in the box? And just, here's a QR code, go to the website. They're all there. They're free. You don't even have to buy the book, you know? So it's providing a tool that helps you get into the Word, because the Word is where change happens. And it's helping, I think, teens know they need the Word. They don't know how to do it. They don't know how to apply it. So like going to a personal growth study and being able to go, okay, you know, how do I fight this temptation through Scripture memory? Okay, this is how I could do it. Or how do I find the way of escape that God tells me about in 1 Corinthians 10:13? Right, here's a practical way I can do that. And I just would say, you know, as your podcast is titled, we have the ability to counsel people. Mm-hmm. We can, because we have the Word and we have the Holy Spirit. And so don't be afraid to sit beside a teen and show them the hope and help of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate that. And you mentioned a few things there real quickly, and I want our audience to make sure they hear them, that in the back of the book, you have personal application projects. You have a section for more help. These are just starters. They're not the end in and of themselves, and they can point people to a lot of things. And then you mentioned all the extra online content, which you don't even have to get the book for. But so where, if somebody gets the book, that's all accessible to them. You made it really easy. QR codes are awesome for that purpose. But if somebody just wants to find out more about the books or see some of these resources for themselves online, what's the website? Where do they go? How can they find out more?
Yeah, you can purchase any of the books through Shepherd Press, or you can also purchase it through the Wilds, WILDS.org, or we actually have a website just dedicated to the Lifeline for Teens series, and that's lifelineforteens.com.
That's awesome. So audience, check out lifelineforteens.com. Also check out the Wilds if you're not familiar with that. And you guys must have, I don't know when or how you got in on that URL. Must have been pretty early. Well, that's great. And thank you both so much for being with us on 1514 today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
And special thanks to our team who helped make this podcast possible. My assistant, Rebecca Mullins, helps coordinate these interviews, and our podcast engineer, Caleb Lau, does a great job editing and putting everything together. We look forward to you joining us next time.